สัญญาวาจาสัญญาเสร็จอิติ thus Arjunam unto Arjuna Vasudeva Krishna Tata in that way Uktva speaking Svakam his own Rupam form Darshaya Asa showed Bhuyaha again Ashvasayam Asa encouraged Cha also Bitam painful Enam him Bhutva becoming Punaha again Sonyavapu a beautiful form Mahatma the great one Translation Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna having spoken thus to Arjuna displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. That is, he first of all appeared as four-armed Narayan, but when he was requested by his parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child in appearance. Similarly, Krishna knew that Arjuna was not interested in seeing a four-armed form, four-handed form. But since Arjuna asked to see this four-handed form, Krishna also showed him this form again, and then showed him in his two-armed form, showed himself in his two-armed form. The word Somyavapu is very significant. Somyavapu is a very beautiful form. It is known as the most beautiful form. When he was present, everyone was attracted simply by Krishna's form. And because Krishna is the director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again his beautiful form of Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is stated, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Namo Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his own two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. So this is a very nice verse. It shows us the love the Supreme Personality of Godhead has for his devotees. Arjuna was worshipping Krishna in his two-armed form. He was in Sakya Ras, which means he was considering himself a friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their friendly relationship was very intimate. Sometimes, after doing strenuous activities, Krishna and Arjuna would rest on the same bed because they felt tired. Now, can you imagine lying with the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the same bed? That means it's a very intimate relationship. So, Krishna, therefore, wanted to show Arjuna his two-armed form when he saw how shocked his friend was to see the universal form. Please just imagine this. There is Arjuna worshipping Krishna, and all of a sudden Krishna shows how the universe is in his form. This must be an extremely shocking experience. Imagine you have a very close friend and he all of a sudden expands himself and you see the universe inside of him. You will definitely feel a little fearful. You think, what is... It will be very difficult for you to accommodate this new picture of your friend, to say the least. And that was exactly what was going on with Arjun. He was so shocked that his senses burnt. He lost all composure. He broke down, in fact. And therefore, when Krishna saw that his friend has seen enough of his glorious display, he was merciful and showed him again his two-arm form. In the Mahabharata, there is one interesting story which can be soon read when Shikansena Prabhu makes his book available to all of us. There's only a pre-manuscript now there. It talks about one saint, Utkala, who also saw the universal form after the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When Krishna left Hastinapur to go to his own town, Dwarka, he passed through a desert, which was the home of Utkala. And Utkala saw him and greeted him respectfully and then said, "My dear Lord, you must come from Hastinapur, and certainly you have avoided the battle between the two camps in the same family. You must have avoided the battle of between the Kauravas." And Krishna said, "No, the battle took place." And Utkala became actually very angry at that time. He said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can avoid a battle. Why didn't you step in? Why did you allow this cruel war to happen?" And he was so angry, he said, "For that I'm going to curse you, Krishna." So Krishna said, "Please don't curse me. No curse can have effect on the Supreme Personality of Godhead." I mean, the point is clear. If a mosquito begins to curse the sun, what will the curse of the mosquito do to the sun? It will do one thing, but not to the sun. It is described, if you happen to be a brahmana who has this tejas, it means a certain force which you can gain by your austerity, and you use that force to a curse, then this power leaves you. Do you understand? By your austerity, you have a certain power, and your words can become true. That point is made in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if you use your power to curse someone, that power goes into the curse, and you are bereft of your power. Therefore, brahmanas should really well be, they should think twice before they curse somebody, because it's like the tejas leaves them. So Krishna said, if you curse me, you will suffer because of that, and I don't want you to suffer. But then, all right, said, oh God, but why did you make this happen? And Krishna said, there was no way to avoid it. The rascal Duryodhan was bent on war, couldn't be avoided. So Krishna somehow felt pleased with Utkala and told him, Utkala, ask me for a blessing. And Utkala immediately said, show me your universal form, please. So Krishna did so, and by seeing this universal form, Utkala became completely satisfied in his mind. Then Krishna asked him a second time, please ask for another blessing. And Utkala answered, yes, my Lord, now I am happy. I do not have any further desire. This shows you the universal form, the darshan of the universal form is not something usual. It is something very extraordinary. You all have heard about the universal form, and you have seen this picture most properly, and you might think, well, universal form, nothing special. Let's hear the next point. But please, wait a minute moment. This is very special. Everything which exists in the universe can be seen in this wonderful form. This is how wonderful God is. Must be completely overwhelming. So Utkala naturally said, well, I have no other desire. And then Krishna urged him on, please ask for something. And finally, he had one idea that since he lived in a desert where not sufficient water was available, he asked the Lord that whenever I'm thirsty, please make an arrangement so that water is available. I mean, this shows you that he really didn't have any desire left. I mean, if Krishna stands before you and he asks you, please ask for something, you might ask for an unproblematic life in your material existence, or you might ask for, maybe you have an idea that you want to stay in some, maybe at a holy place, or you will ask him for something if you know that he's there and he wants you to say something. So just by the fact that Utkala said, I want a little water whenever I'm thirsty, you can understand that he was completely overwhelmed by seeing the universal form. He was very satisfied. So anyways, our real point here is that Krishna is very merciful towards his devotee, and he takes on different forms to save his devotees, to protect his devotees, and to re-establish religious principles in this universe. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chadusitam, he says. And there's another shloka. Actually, he has three purposes. To protect the devotees, to annihilate the demons and to establish religious principles. Now one of such forms which he took is the Matsya avatar. This Matsya avatar is a very interesting leela which I would like to bring to your attention this evening. It is a very interesting display of Krishna's mercy towards his devotees. Once there was a king called Satyavata who lived long, long ago in a different millennium or age. And it so happened that he went to a river in order to make his ablutions, that means certain rituals, religious rituals. When he took his, when he, you know, went with his hands into the river water to get it, and he took his hands out, he saw a tiny little fish inside his hands. So usually he would have immediately thrown it back, but the fish started to address him in good Sanskrit, perfect Sanskrit. He said, "My dear Satyavrata, don't put me back, because there are dangerous fishes who will give me a hard time. Please save me." There was no mistake, the fish had just spoken to him. And he said, well, he felt compassionate and brought the fish home and put him into a water jug. Wasserkrug is the deutsche word. A water jug. Now, immediately after throwing him inside, the fish had become larger, as big as the water jug. And he said, "This is not befitting for me. I don't fit here any longer. Please give me a greater place." So Satyavrata said, "Well, it's an unusual growth." took the fish and brought it into a pond. And immediately after bringing it into the pond, the fish grew as large as the size of the pond. "Please give me another container of water." Then Satyavrata threw it into a lake, but also there it had the same thing happened. He took the size of the lake. Then Satyavrata threw it to the ocean, and there the fish took on a large form. And Satyavrata was completely amazed. "Who are you?" he asked the mystical fish. "You must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can work wonders." And he began addressing him with wonderful prayers, which are really nice. In these prayers, he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Supreme Spiritual Master. And anyone who is desiring to understand more about the position of the Spiritual Master can read those prayers, which are extremely nice and informative. So then the fish started to speak again. He said, "My dear Satyavrata, I'm very pleased with you, and I want to tell you a secret. Not long from now, the dissolution of the universe will take place. Not universe, a partial dissolution will take place. And at that time, you please gather a boat On top of this boat, there should be the seven rishis who know about the seven branches of Vedic knowledge. There should be different animals of each kind and also seeds of each kind. And in this, you will be in this boat, and the water will rise and rise and rise. And at that time, I will come back as in my Matsya avatar, my fish incarnation, and I will protect you. There will be the snake Vasuki. You can bind the snake on the boat and on one of my golden horns, and I will then drag you through the ocean of destruction. Do not fear. So Satyavrata did as he was called, and in fact he was pleasantly surprised. The seven rishis came, the water came, and this boat was then dragged through the waters of destruction by this Matsya avatar of Krishna. As a point of information, this Satyavrata later became the Manu Kshradadev, who was appearing as the son of Vivashvan, and was instructed by Vivashvan. Later, Kshradadev gave this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. As you might know, Krishna instructed the science of Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan. Vivashvan told it to Manu Kshradadev, and Kshradadev again told it to Ikshvaku. Manu told it to Ikshvaku. So we can see he is a great devotee, and you can see for his protection Krishna appeared as Matsya avatar. He also appeared for the protection of the Vedas and also for the protection of the different kinds of living entities. Now another point which is very interesting here to notice is that of course this same story can be found in the Bible, the Ark of Noah. It's Ark of Noah, isn't it? Ark. Does one say Ark?
Ark.
Ark. When we went through Turkey or Iran or Persia, I don't know exactly. It was when we went through the Hindu Kush. There is a mountain where legend tells you that the Ark of Noah has been stranded. You know, when the water of dissolution went back, they say the Ark of Noah was finding rest on this mountain in the Hindu Kush. What? Ararat. Yeah. Is this really in the Hindu Kush mountain? Oh, is it in Turkey? Turkey. Good. Let us have this correct. So the Christian faith really is convinced of this Ark of Noah. Now we find that much earlier than the beginning of the Christians, this Ark of Noah is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's actually the Ark of Satyavrata. And I think this point is of interest for anyone who wants to argue with Christians. Christians sometimes say that, oh, Krishna consciousness has been formulated, the Vedic scriptures have been formulated after understanding the noble teachings of the Bible. But story, which is found in very ancient Puranas, which are much older than the Bible, predates actually any idea like this from the Bible, and we can safely assume that it's vice versa, also genau umgekehrt. So anyways, this is just a side point. The main point is that Krishna really, in order to save his devotees and be, reveal himself to the devotees, comes in different forms. Now, we all might, of course, now think, in what form does Krishna appear to me? And is this, if this is a principle, that Krishna appears to his devotees, how does this apply into my life? And to answer this question, I want to put your attention on a very nice point which was raised by Srila Prabhupada. I personally find this passage very illuminating because of its relevance to us in devotional service. We understand from Srila Rupa Goswami's description of the Bhakti Yoga process that there are six symptoms of devotional service. The first two symptoms are klesha gni, that means sufferings in the life of a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness are reduced, and shubadha means all kinds of auspicious circumstances begin to take their appearance in the life of a devotee. Now, the way this happens is that Krishna, who is within the heart of the living entity, actually sees our position in Krishna consciousness and mercifully comes to our aid. Tesham evanukam patam aham agyana yantamaha. He comes with a burning light of knowledge to dissipate the ignorance born, or the darkness born of ignorance. And Prabhupada expresses it like this. As soon as you take to devotional service, Krishna will give you dictation. You do this. Krishna says, I give intelligence by which you can come back to me. Krishna will help you. If he seriously takes your case, if you are fully surrendered, then he will direct you in such a way that you cannot go elsewhere except to him. Even sometimes you may find that he is doing something against your will. So, this is very nice. If Krishna thinks that you are just, this is from another lecture of Prabhupada, if you are just trying to approach him in devotional service, he will become very active in your life. He'll direct you. He will direct you. Sometimes when we are in neophytes or new devotees in Krishna consciousness, things seem to go against our plans. We are not as encouraged as we would like. We are not as Krishna consciousness and inspired. We experience difficulties on Sankirtan maybe, or in our relationship to other devotees. But as long as you just try, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to overcome. Prabhupada says, I have personal experience. I never tried, never accepted that I shall become a sannyasi. I tried my best to keep myself in this material world. Several times, Krishna frustrated me and brought me by force to this life. And now I'm happy. I can understand now how much favor Krishna has showed me. Sometimes Krishna needs to make a little operation. Sometimes we need to suffer a little bit. Why? Because if we do not suffer, then we will think we can be happy in this material world without Krishna. If we do not suffer, we think everything is too easy. We might even lose Krishna consciousness because of becoming blissed out. When I was a new devotee, I was just so happy in Krishna consciousness. I would sometimes just laugh and laugh and sit down just somewhere and just, you know, be so happy. I couldn't move any longer from all that happiness. I couldn't do any service. I just fooled around more or less, made long walks. I remember once after Sunday feast, I felt so happy. I walked around in the whole town, just smiling at everyone. I felt like embracing the whole world. And then one man came to me and said, what kind of drug did you take? Here is a person who wants me, but he's foolish. He wants to enjoy this material world. So I will crush his material propensities and let him become simply devoted. Yes, sometimes we see like that. Krishna says, if I do somebody a special favor, then my first duty is to crush all his material possessions. So there is a policy of Krishna that sometimes he puts us to a test, whether we are sincerely this devotee. Sometimes one engages in devotional service for sense gratification, and then when Krishna doesn't supply, then one rejects Krishna. So this is not accepted by Krishna. Anyways, I feel the point is clear. Krishna is there reacting or becoming active in a devotee's life in the form of his guidance. Sometimes Krishna will become active in our lives by putting a severe test before us, where our devotion to Krishna will really be tested severely. He does this because he is a merciful Lord. He wants us to become pure devotees. He wants us to take shelter in Krishna. So please remember this next time you feel somehow the test of Krishna is pinching you or giving you a little trouble. Understand that Krishna wants to guide you to his lotus feet. Krishna also becomes active in the life of the devotee by sending him a spiritual master through whom Krishna, the devotee, can get guidance. Krishna also becomes active in the life of devotees by sometimes speaking to other devotees who will act towards us. See, sometimes young devotees feel, oh, when I was practicing Krishna consciousness outside of the temple, I had it was easier for me. I didn't have feelings of enviousness or anger or attachment. They were not displayed so much. But this is actually an illusion. See, in the association of devotees, we are trained to purify our hearts. In the association of devotees, often impurities are brought forth which are not brought out when you do not have the association of devotees. It is an illusion to think that outside of the association of devotees you can become Krishna conscious. Outside of the association of devotees you can remain in false ego and don't notice it at all. But inside the devotee association, sometimes your bad qualities are brought forth. So I wanted to end this presentation, this lecture, by reading something from Jiva Goswami, that even in Krishna Leela, sometimes Krishna takes on different disguises. I will read you from the chapter 29 of this work. See, Krishna sometimes used to take different disguises in order to see Radha. Another time, seeing Sri Krishna decorated with the dress of a female flutist. You understand this word? Flute player. But a female flute player. Sri Radha addressed her friend, "My dear girlfriend, this dark complexioned girl is very expert in playing the flute. But her home is very far away and she has arrived here in the middle of the night. Since she has very few local friends to stay with, you can just squeeze her in my bed and she can sleep with me tonight." Another time, seeing Sri Krishna in the disguise of a female betel nut merchant, Sri Radha addressed her companions, "Oh my dear girlfriend, I tell you confidentially, that dark complexioned betel nut merchant who is new in town must know a very powerful enchanting mantra. I have never seen anyone like her before anywhere." Another time, Sri Radha beholds Sri Krishna in the dress of a female fruit merchant and says to her companion, "Oh, my dear girlfriend, this dark-complexioned fruit merchant has numerous types of fruit on display." Another day, Sri Krishna dressed up as a female cloth dyer. He came before Sri Radha and declared, "I am a dyer of cloth." Dyer means who puts a color into the cloth. "And my most celebrated name in this world is Shyama." That's the feminine form of Shyama. Shyama is the name of Krishna. "Whoever wears the cloth dyed by me will feel the colorful lotus flower of her heart burst into full bloom." Another day, Sri Krishna came in the disguise of a female marrow merchant, Spiegelhändler, Händlerin, and came before Sri Radha and said, "Of course I desire to sell my marrows, coral and pearls, but listen, O Braj Damsel, I asked you, what price can you give me?" Then he said, came as dressed up as a masseuse. It's someone who masseur is someone who massages, and masseuse is a lady who does this. Came before Sri Radha and announced, "I'm very expert in the art of massage, and I'm very gentle. I would very much like to serve you in this way, O most fortunate one. Even a mere fraction of the pleasure that arises from my touch easily surpasses that of achieving the state of supremely divine nirvana." The nirvana massage. So in this way, Krishna takes different disguises. He comes in different incarnations to uplift the world. He came as the universal form to Arjuna and others. And in his divine Leela, he also takes on different form. So all that, and he comes into our life as a super soul who guides us and who makes our life auspicious. If we take to Krishna consciousness, he comes in the form of our spiritual master who mercifully directs us on the path of Krishna consciousness. He comes also in the form of books. He even comes in the form of the holy name. He comes in the form of the Gayatri mantra. He comes in the form of prasadam. He comes in the form of the deities. Krishna comes in many, many forms, just so that we can start our devotional service to him. He is therefore called Bhakta Vatsala, or the friend and well-wisher of his devotees. Now, if you want to have Krishna come into your life, you should be aware of the price which is necessary to give. That price is surrender. Sri Krishna is not revealing himself to a non-devotee. In this connection, there are so many stories. To also talk a little philosophy and not just talk stories all day and all night. That's called in the degree of your surrender, Krishna rewards yourself. Now, practical surrender is starting at the point where you want to hear more about Krishna. This point is often not stressed enough. When we hear surrender, we often do not really know how to apply it in our lives. Where exactly should we surrender? And how should we grow in our surrendering spirit? See, you can only surrender to Krishna if there is some love. You cannot maintain an austere service attitude if you are not full of love. This love for Krishna can only arise in your heart when you hear more about Krishna. If you sincerely want to surrender, you will have to have love. That's also why it is advised to a devotee who wants to establish a meaningful relationship to his spiritual master. There must be love to the spiritual master. Otherwise, it is extremely difficult to follow his advices or his instructions. It is not possible, in fact. But love, it is very easy to do something which is even very difficult to do. This is the explanation why our Sankirtan devotees can do so well. If there is love in their heart to Krishna, to the spiritual master, it's very easy to even go in the winter time. So how does this love appear? It is called, it's said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kavunoi. It's already in the heart. How does it come out? By hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna. That's the most important point in our devotional life. All the difficulties which we experience, in fact, all our, let us say, doubts and sometimes our uninspired feelings come when we do not chant and hear in the proper way or if we don't do that enough. Once Prabhupada was receiving a letter where a devotee told so many problems, and Prabhupada answered the letter by saying, "May I ask if you chant your 16 rounds without offenses?" He wanted to indicate that if the chanting and hearing is proper, this is surrender. Don't think it's a waste of time or it is a luxury for intellectually minded devotees. It is a must. If you want to plan a life full of devotional service, then this is a must. So then surrender, then you can take different steps in surrender. Of course, following the instructions of your spiritual master requires surrender. Doing your devotional service requires surrender. And so on, but it is based on these points. So, that's another point I wanted to. Krishna reveals himself to him who is, or her, who is surrendering in this way. In fact, he says that for those who practice regular hearing and chanting, he becomes present there. He actually becomes present there. He comes there. He hears. I remember last time I was in Ljubljana, it was at the war, there was some crazy situation, political situation, and we were just driving past a sports stadium, Avaduta and myself, and maybe Dana, I forgot who was in the car, and he told me that sometimes the sports stadium is full with fans who just go and encourage the football team whom they are fans to. I was just imagine a whole football crowd full of people, a whole football field, you know, football stadium full of people who come to a Goranga Bhajan group program. I was just imagine this in my inner eyes. And it became very clear. But once I heard from Prabhupada that Krishna hears you chanting and glorifying him, he becomes very attractive because his name is mentioned. His name is mentioned. I can imagine if now we would hear someone talking outside, oh, have you heard Bhakta Uwe? Bhakta Uwe would immediately, why is he telling about me? You know, and become highly interested to understand. So Krishna is like that. When devotees talk about him, he began, what are they talking about me? He began coming, and I just thought, when we do this Goranga Bhajan group in a full football stadium, you know, chant Hare Krishna, and all the people chant Hare Krishna, won't Krishna appear? Of course he will want to appear there. So this is a principle which is there in devotional service. But someone who sincerely chants and praises the glories of the Lord, all the Lord appears and he comes to his aid, he helps. I wanted to make this point. So Hare Krishna, let us end here. Very nice to glorify Krishna like that. When you chant, I feel we don't stress this point enough in our lives. We should glorify Krishna. Did you ever think about this point? Glorify Krishna. Talk nice things about Krishna. And then Krishna becomes attracted. That's all. He wants to hear how we talk, how we appreciate him. That we can show in our chanting, that we chant very nicely. Just think, sometimes we think, oh, I'm chanting for myself, because if I don't chant, I will be confused all day, and I will be in Maya, and I won't be able to distribute much books, and I will suffer on the street, and so on. But change that attitude. Try to chant in a way that you glorify Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You are so wonderful, Krishna. Like that. That makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. What is it? Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Hare Krishna. Anyways, these are all very personal subjects. They are not, or let us say, important. They are important for the lives of a practicing devotee. Not really very philosophical things, but for understanding these, our lives will become easy in Krishna consciousness. Let us stop here. Does any one of you have any questions? Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, there's a vast difference. See, Kapila Dev is a certain kind of, it's called, he's a Leela avatar who comes to perform a certain Leela. He presents the Sankhya yoga philosophy. Now Krishna is actually the avatari. Avatari means the source of all avatars. And he came and made like a personal appearance. And he had different purposes than Kapila. Krishna's purposes are stated in the... you can learn Krishna's purposes by observing his life. For instance, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He guided the soldiers on the battlefield of Kuru. He protected, let us better say, the Pandavas and annihilated, and took care of the annihilation of all the demons. He killed Kamsa. It's a completely different lila of Krishna. And as far as the technical difference, Krishna is called Avatari, and Kapila is an avatar. Avatari means he is the source of all avatars, and avatar means he is one who descends from Krishna. Krishna is the origin of Kapila, you could say. Yeah? Are there any other questions? Yeah,
you mentioned seven branches of Vedic knowledge.
There are more branches. It really depends on the vision which you have. See, that's explained in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where the Vedic knowledge was given to different disciples. Gotama took a branch, and many others had branches. But these were again subdivided, and other branches came. So in this... In this lila, seven rishis were given seven branches of knowledge. Now, what these branches are is not mentioned there. Many branches of Vedic knowledge.
And each branch is a sampradaya.
As far as I understand, see, it is like this. All the Vedic knowledge is contained in this one syllable. There you have all the Vedic knowledge. Now, you might think, well, these are three letters, not so much is in there. But no, it is a transcendental sound vibration, and within that it is present. But because we don't understand this, right? When you hear Om, you don't know the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, or any other branch of Vedic knowledge, Shankhya. You don't know Shankhya after having heard Om. Therefore, different, and this has been softer, then there's a one Veda, which is a one Veda, Atharva, right? First there was Atharva. That's your, then it was divided further and further on. It's just that knowledge, you have to understand this much, Ludwig. Knowledge is not necessarily when it's written down on paper. It's an abstract is not the real verb which we would use. It is not letters on a piece of paper. Yeah, it's reality. Good. That's a good way. Transcendental knowledge is a transcendental reality. So that's within the sound vibration, Om, which is unlimited. Our understanding of Om may be limited. Therefore the great saints who are on the transcendental platform of consciousness, they have divided this, and they have verbalized it, and they are experts on different branches. You can understand it more. There are schools of knowledge in which this knowledge is maintained, explained, and so on and so forth. Very, mystical, isn't it? Prabhupada explains this point in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he actually says it's this transcendental knowledge is handed down, and it is not just physical sound, therefore mundane people won't understand this knowledge. This highly esoteric knowledge might, I want to explain it in a way which is more relevant to us. Don't think after you have heard one verse you understand the verse. This is what it also means. It can, your understanding grows deeper and deeper. And how does it grow deeper? By service. By service only you understand. That's why you might have made the experience in your own devotional life that sometimes when you have your reading hour, you don't understand much. Somehow it doesn't, you know, go into your system or whatever, your head. But at other times, you understand very, very nicely everything. You feel very happy. It has much to do with service and with eating too much and feeling sleepy when you read. let us not give such a profane that I'm speaking of something more serious. If it doesn't stick, you might consider that your service attitude is not very good. Therefore sometimes young devotees, they say, I just read. And after 2 days, they're completely bored with reading because they can't digest the transcendental knowledge without seva, without service. That was a long answer to so let us end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.